Baruch Hashem, we started talking last week about the gift of Shabbos, the gift of Shabbos, and hopefully we're going to be able to talk about that for many, many weeks to come. It's Hashem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Shabbos as a matana toiva, from His precious gift, from His treasure, His treasure place, His storage place, whatever that means. We're going to talk a lot about it. That there's a special sign, a special letter we spoke about last week, the neshamas, the oisiyas, the letters. Ki sheishes yom mosa Hashem es haShemayim v'saaretz v'yom haShvi shavas v'inafash. Now afterwards, after the Torah reveals to us this gift of Shabbos, the Torah tells us right afterwards, v'yiten el Moshe kechaloisay ladaber itay v'har Sinai, that Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu another gift. Really, there's another gift. And Hashem Yisbarach gave Moshe Rabbeinu another gift. And not only another gift, but here, Chazal say, it's like a wedding gift. Because it says, Vayiten al Moshe kechaloisay ladaber itay, when Hashem was finished speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the word kechaloso is written chaser, it's not written complete. So it resembles the word kikaloso. So Chazal say that it's as if Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu a wedding present. Since the day of the giving of the Torah, the day that we received the Torah, is the day of our wedding with Hashem, so we received the wedding present. And what's that? So after Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, He gave him shnei luchais ha'edus, luchais even ksuvim be'ezbelekim. Hashem Yisbarach gave Moshe Rabbeinu the two tablets, the Aseres HaDvarim, the Aseres HaDibros, that are written by the hand of Hashem. So we see that there's a gift of Shabbos that's connected, obviously, in a very, very deep way to a different gift that's called the gift of the Luchos, and that's like a wedding gift. So there are two gifts. There's the gift of Shabbos, and there's the gift of the Luchos, of the tablets, of the Torah, which itself is called a gift. So these two gifts must have a kesher, must have a connection one to the other that we need to understand. If we're to be able to reach out to receive the present, we were talking about that last week, how we have Shabbos all of our lives, and it's the most precious gift, but most of us have never even taken off the wrapping, we've never even taken a look, we don't understand what Shabbos is bechlal. Therefore, in order to understand the gift of Shabbos, we have to understand the gift of the Luchos. And then we'll be able to, Mir Hashem, begin next week to talk about Erev Shabbos. About Erev Shabbos, which we're going to be spending many weeks talking about Erev Shabbos, and a few months about Erev Shabbos. Let's begin with the Ramban. The Ramban in Bereishis, in the second parak of Bereishis, the Ramban is troubled by something that all of us are wondering about. When the Torah says that Hashem placed Adam, He placed Adam and Chava in the garden in Gan Eden, and it says in the Torah, La'avda u'lashamra, to work in the garden and to guard it. La'avda u'lashamra. So the obvious question is, what was the nature of the work that was being done? What exactly was that work that was being done in Gan Eden, in paradise? We always associate paradise with unemployment. So what type of work was being done in Gan Eden? So the Ramban writes, V'hine ilonei Gan Eden, the trees of Gan Eden, gozu behem, la'aseis anaf v'la'aseis pri lo'ad. That means that really Hashem created the trees of the garden. Hashem created the world in such a way, He created Gan Eden in such a way, that they had the koach, they had the ability to perpetually bring forth fruit, to produce fruit. La'olam lo yazkin ba'aretz shorasham, and the roots will never grow old. U'ba'ofar la'yomas gizam, and nor will the roots of the trees of paradise of Gan Eden ever die. Ain't shrichim la'ayved v'zaymer. Hashem created, the Ramban says, Gan Eden in such a way where it would be unnecessary to have anybody tend to these trees. It was not required that there be anybody to be zaymer, to prune the trees, to be koitzer, to cut, and so on. Everything was okay. Everything was taken care of. Imkain, the Ramban asks, Imkain, ma tam vayinicheo b'ganeidin of the Lashomra. So the Ramban asks, if that's the case, then what is meant when it says in the Torah that Adam was placed into the garden? La'av der l'shomra, to work and to guard the garden. What is the avoida of the garden? For Rabbi Sein in this Arab is Amru b'breishis Rabbi la'av der l'shomra elu akarbonis. So the Ramban says that Chazal have discussed this, and Chazal say that la'av der l'shomra means that Adam, the work of Adam and Harishon in Gan Eden, was the bringing of sacrifices. Korbanos. Shenemar tavdun es arlokim. We know that korbanos, and in the absence of a Beis HaMikdash or a place to bring korbanos, avod is tefillah, davening. But here, Chazal say, as it's written, tavdun es arlokim, and also regarding korbanos, it says, tishmeru lahakriv li b'moado. Tishmeru lahakriv li b'mayado. Which means, the Ramban tells us, that when the Torah says, la'avda u'lashamra, based upon this Chazal, the avoda is referring to avoda with karbonis, sacrifices, tefillah, davening, and so on. In other words, spiritual avoda. U'lashamra, the word shmira also implies karbonis, since it says in the Pasuk, tishmiru lahakriv li b'moado, that they should be guarded and brought in the appointed times. So we find that by karbonis, the words avoda and shmira are synonymous with karbanos, with sacrifices. V'akavona b'zeh Ramban ends, and he says, Ki atzmochim b'chol balechayim tzrichim l'koyches harishayinim. The Ramban says, certainly Hashem created the world in such a way where even paradise, even Gan Eden, requires man to work. There's no question that man has to work. And that the trees and all of the life, the animals and so on in Gan Eden, needed the work of man in order to survive, in order to live. Not only that, but even, as Chazal tell us, even the angels, even all the cosmic beings, everything in the world needed Adam and Chava, needed the work of Adam. And had things gone differently, all of life would have been sustained eternally, forever, by the avoda, by the work of Adam and Chava in paradise, in Gan Eden. This is what the Ramban says. That means, it's obvious, it's very clear, as it says in the Pasuk, in Eve, Adam la'amal yulad. Man was created to work. Man was created to labor, to work. The chiluk is, the question is, what kind of work? What exactly is the nature of your work? At the beginning, man was created in such a way, kaidem achet, before the sin, where the entire universe was going to be sustained by his la'avda u'lashamra, by his work. By la'avda, hard work. Not backbreaking, but more heartbreaking work, which is the avoda of serving Hashem, karbonis and tefillah and so on. As a result of the chait, as a result of the sin, man continued to be a working being. There's no question that man was created to work. The only question is, what would happen, what would be the nature of that employment? So after the chait, this is now changed to b'zeah sepecha toich alechem. Whereas until now, it meant a perspiration that comes from bringing korbanos and from davening and from being attached to the Creator, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's until now. But after the chait, the nature of this avoda is changed. And now it becomes b'zeah sepecha toich alechem. But whether or not it's before the sin or after the sin, a human being was created in this world in such a way that he cannot eat, he cannot live, he cannot enjoy this world unless he goes through the way of Sheshes Yomim Tavod, of working 6 days. The only question is, as I said before, is what type of sacrifices are you making? A person who's still connected to the La'avda Ulishamra on some level, so the sacrifices that he makes in life are different than the person who's schlepping on the train and the buses and who has to go to work in such a way. Of Bizasa Pechatarch Alechem. But the bottom line is that Adam La'omal Yulad Ashrei Mi Shemalachtoi, and how fortunate is the one whose Yegia, whose work, is hurrying, is struggling over a Gemara Rashi Taisvis, is struggling over something in Ruchnias, in spirituality. Because that person is able to, on some level, is able to taste a little bit of what it was like in Gan Eden. The only thing is that he still gets his bills at the end of the month. But that person who's Zeiche, that person who has the merit, who has the schus, whose malach is malachas shamayim, is the work of heaven. So on some level, he's tasting that type of work of la'avda l'shamra, the work of Gan Eden. But generally, this is not what mankind lives with. Generally, Adam la'omal yulad, man was created to work, now has a different meaning. And the meaning of it is all that you and I would rather not have in this world. Unless this person is zeichet to be in a job, medical or something, we're saving lives, helping people, and so on, of course. But stam, adam la'omal yulad. Aleph. Now, beis. The Chachmei Ha'emes, the Zohar Kaddish, in the Svarma Kedoshim, it's been revealed that the Malachas of Shabbos, you all know that there are 39 Malachas of Shabbos, 39 main categories of forbidden work on Shabbos. You also know that these are referred to as Arborim Chaser Achaz, they are 40 minus 1. These are the 39 Malachas that are referred to as 40 subtract 1, 39. Now that number, 40 subtract 1, according to the Chachmei Ha'emes, corresponds to the number of lashes that a Jew who has violated certain types of Isurim, certain prohibitions, that a Jew who has transgressed, and as long as there's proper testimony and so on, and has been determined in the Beis Din, so you all know that there are 39 lashes for such a person. These 39 lashes are quite amazing. Besides that they hurt, the Torah describes them as arborim yakenu. He should be beaten, he should be hit 40 times. But there's a Kabbalah that really, when it says in the Torah 40, it means 40 minus 1, means 39. So in the Zohar Kodesh, in the Svarma Kedoshim, the 39 Malachas of Shabbos, 40 minus 1 Malachas of Shabbos, forbidden categories of work on Shabbos, correspond to the 40 minus 1 Malkis lashes that a certain type of a sinner is liable to receive. So we have to understand, why is that? What's the connection? So we have a teaching from the Maral in Gur Aryeh, over there in Kiseitse, an unbelievable Gur Aryeh. Listen carefully to the words of the Maral, because this is a very, very big yesod in what Shabbos is. Bechlal, what it means to be a Jew. The Maral writes in Gur Aryeh the following. The question, why does the Torah say that the person gets 40 lashes if really it's 39? Right? That's the obvious question. It's really 39. Why does the Torah call it 40? And refer to it later on, it's referred to in Chazal, again, as 40 minus 1. Same thing with the Malachas. 40 minus 1, 39 Malachas. On Shabbos. Why? So the Maral says this. Maral says, certainly, it would be appropriate to give 40 lashes. Why? What's the significance of the number 40? Why would it be proper? Why would it be appropriate to give 40? Which is why the Torah says, Arboim Yakenu. Why would that be proper? So Maral says, Keneged Arboim Yom Shel Yetziras Havlad. You all know that halachically, the initial primal formation of the fetus in the mother's womb takes 40 days, halachically. That 40-day period is when the child is in the process of Yetziras Havlad, which that time of the 40th day is already considered to be the time of the Yetziras Havlad, of the initial formation and the crucial formation of the fetus inside the mother's womb. So the Maral says, so this person who has sinned, really, he should really get 40 lashes connected arboim yom shalitzivus of lad that correspond to the 40 days of the formation of the fetus. Why? This is a b'yom ha'achren hu yom ha'arboim mekabel havlad ha'neshama. Listen to the depth of this Maharal. The Maharal explains that on the 40th day, and this is clear from the Zohar and all the Kabbalah Svarim, in Chazal, in many places, that the first 39 days of that period of formation is when the body, when that tiny little body is being halachically, is considered to be formed. The 40th day is when the nefesh, when the soul, is infused into the fetus. As the Maharal says, "Ubiyom ha'achron hu yom ha'arboim mekabel havlat ha'neshama b'chol la'mites ubriyas haguf." That means that for the entire period of 39 days, man's physical life is being formed. The body is being formed. And Ra'al says, and the body, the guf, he says, hu ha'chet sheba yetzahara. That body which in due time is going to be dragging this human being into the world of the Yetzirah. In other words, the Yetzirah is really connected to the formation of physical life that takes place during the 39 days, the first 39 days. Unfortunately, Haneshama Chaites Imo, the Maharal says that unfortunately in life, we'll talk about this more in a few minutes, the body schleps along the Neshama. So the Neshama is also schlepped along. But it's the body that's formed in those 39 days, it's the physical body that's formed in those 39 days that is responsible for man's predisposition and difficulties with the Yetzahar. Because the Neshama is attached to the body, it unfortunately has to suffer from that relationship. Hachain, however, Kishamak and Oyselamet Tesmak, as the Maharal says, that when the body that has sinned receives the 39 lashes, and remember that here it corresponds to amazing, amazing things, the number 39, which we're going to see a little bit more what it means. But when the body receives this 39 lashes of this person who has sinned, so the Maharal says that it goes through this refinement. In other words, it's as if the tumah, the impurity, is knocked out of it. It goes through this purification process with each clap. With each clap, the body is somehow removed further and further away from its sin. Ubazeh shav yitziras haguf noki min hachet. And the body is cleansed of the sin throughout those 39 makas. It's as if each clap, is for one day that the of the physical creation and formation of the fetus. So nachaklap, and each clap, each time that the person is struck, the Maharal says it is for the purpose of somehow extracting that tumah that infiltrated, that's the result of one's physical activities in this world. Vahare, he says, he ends and says, Vahare belamitas malkis hu sarachet min haguf. Therefore, after 39 malkis, 39 lashes, the chet, the sin, the ugliness, has been extracted from the body. Umimela, the Maharal says, nimtza neshama tahira. Now what's left after you give 39 lashes? Remember, on the 40th day is the creation or the infusion of the soul. That's on the 40th day. So the Maharal says, once after 39 lashes, the chait has been removed from the body. Mimela, the result is that now the neshama is pure, because the neshama, she'en v'abchisus ba'atzma. The soul on its own, of course, is holy and pure. The only reason that it gets into trouble is by association with that miserable chava, the body. And that chava, the body, has now been shaken into its beginning, has been restored to holiness itself. And Mimela, the neshama, which is holy and pure, does not need a makkah. The soul of a Jew doesn't need a clap, doesn't need a patch. Only the body of a Jew needs an occasional patch. Not the neshama. The neshama, once the body is quieted, once the body is refined, once that passion that has drawn the person into impurity is silenced, Mimela, the neshama that was created, that was infused on the 40th day, is fine. רק כאשר היא מצורפת לגוף החית, וכאשר הגוף נוקי מן החית, once the neshama is free, or the body, I'm sorry, has been cleansed of the chait, ein kan b'chisis v'chait b'neshama, v'ein tzorech lahal koisei ot, then it is forbidden to give a 40th clap. It's forbidden to hit a 40th time. Because the neshama of a Jew is pure and holy. The only reason that it's in trouble is because of its connection to the body. So once the body has been, purged during those 39 makis, so then mimelu, the neshama is holy and pure. So we understand when the Torah says arborim yakenu, the Maral says really, really, the person should be struck 40 times because the person as a human being has sinned. And the definition of human being is body and soul. But the Maral is telling us that Chazal tell us that the Malkis are arborim choser achas. It's such a fascinating lotion. 40 minus the one. Because the one, which is that part of us, that's yechid l'yachdach, that part of us that really only wants to be good, that part of us that's so pure and holy, does not need a makkah. It only needs to be distanced from that part that's connected to it, that's artificial, that's impure, and has dragged the neshama into all kinds of crazy things. Ad kan the Maral. This is what the Maral says in Gur Aryeh and Kiseitze. So now let's understand, if we have a Kabbalah, if there's a Kabbalah from the Tzaddikim, from the Chacham, there is a tradition that the 39 Malkis are coming from the same world as the 39 forbidden categories of work on Shabbos, the 39 Malachas of Shabbos. Now we can understand the connection based upon this Torah from the Maral. It's clear that really, the Lamed test, the 39 Malachas, all the schlepping that it means for each and every one of us to have a parnasa and to live in this world after Gan Eden. The 39 Malkis really, really only befit and become man as a physical being. Man as a physical being that was created, that body that was formed inside the mother's womb, the physical part of the human being was formed in 39 days. That body that was formed in 39 days and is subject to 39 lashes if he gets carried away with this world, if he gets a little bit too meshuggah in the world, that is the part of the human being that needs to be put to work. That is included in the decree of you shall work with the sweat of your brow. Not anymore working with karbonis. In other words, the neshama, the soul, on its own also must work. But the work of the soul is of the neshama, as the Ramban said. The work of the neshama is with karbonis, with tefillah, with avoda, with devotion to Hashem, with learning, with davening, with mitzvahs, with singing, with dancing. That's the la'avda of what? Of the number 40. You follow? Of the neshama. That's on the 40th day. The guf, the body that was formed inside the womb during those 39 days, that is responsible for a world of bezeas apecha toich alechem. Well, now there are 39 malachis, 39 types of work to engage man in the physical world. And even if the person is not a blue collar worker, but more of a white collar worker, so she's the kind of an individual that sits behind a nice desk and has secretaries and people working for him or for her, and is dignified and is important in the eyes of people. This is all part of the 39 Malkis. And if you don't know that yet, I'm sure at some point it'll dawn upon you that that's all part of the 39 lashes of this world, of the 39 klolas, the curses of Bezeas Apecha Toich Alechem, each type of work. Because when a person's on the phone, so you could think, listen, I'm not a farmer. So a farmer has Boirer and Kaitzer, right? All the different malachas of Shabbos, cutting and planting and so on. So, you know, it's the same thing. Every time that you're dealing with a client, so you're either cutting or planting or separating or you're gathering. It's all the 39 malachas. The bottom line is you're not in the Beis Medrash. You're not at home with the children. You're not at home with the family. You're not in shul. You're not in yeshiva. You're not in seminary. You're not with your tehillim and you're not with your gemara. The bottom line is that you're in a miserable situation of bezeas apecha toich alechem, where the la'avda u'lishamra, where the work has been transferred where the work has been now moved into a different playing field, where the playing field was originally the Beis Medrash, the playing field was the Beis HaMikdash, the playing field was the Mizbeach, was the altar, and a Jew standing and pouring his heart out and breaking his heart to serve the Master of the Universe. Now the playing field has been changed to a world where the person has to break his back, has to break himself emotionally. At least if a person is doing physical menial labor, so at least he doesn't confuse himself to believe that it has some deeper significance. When a person is a farmer, in the old days when most of our ancestors were involved in menial physical labor, say not the ones who were learning, but the ones who were working, mostly it was physical labor. So they generally did not, even though they were appreciative of Hashem's world and they saw the wonders of Hashem's world, they did not associate their jobs with anything very, very profound and meaningful. They found meaning, they sought meaning in their families and in their Yiddishkeit. Now, almost every week I speak to different couples where one is accusing the other of avoiding being home because they're so caught up at work, or that they have now this expression, a workaholic. So there are many, many people that are looking for satisfaction, fulfillment in the Lamates Malachis, in the world of the 39 lashes. At least the farmer didn't fool himself. And when a person is involved in menial labor, in that respect, it was much easier to understand. The confusion, of course, in modern times is great. The confusion is great. But the bottom line is, the point is, that the neshama, the soul of a Jew, doesn't have really, by its nature, the soul of a Jew is totally detached from physical labor. The soul of a Jew, the neshama that was created on the 40th day inside the womb, it's in a situation where it undergoes terrible, terrible suffering and misery because it is joined together in this strange partnership with the body. And as a result of that siruf, as a result of that association with the body, which was created in 39, so the person, the nefesh, finds itself in these ridiculous situations. In other words, it's true all the time that if our neshamas were able to be heard, so while you be, like, whatever your work is, again, it's not Meleches HaKodesh, not Meleches Shamayim, but whatever your work is, so your neshama is every single second screaming, Hotzia mimazgir nafshi, get me out of this place. Why did you take me here? I want to be in the Beis Medrash. I want to be home. I want to be in a sefer. I want to be in a siddur. I want to be with Hashem. I don't want to be involved in this and to throw my koiches hanefesh, even my spiritual and emotional koiches, into something which is so far removed from who I really am. I don't want this. There, and this disparity or this paradox causes a great deal of anxiety and aggravation in the life of a Jew. Be'emes, in truth, the neshama on its own that was created on the 40th day is completely abas menucha. Abas menucha does not mean lazy. Abas menucha, far from being lazy. Just like a Talmud Chacham is not lazy. Chas v'chalila. You can't become a Talmud Chacham while being lazy. And many of the young men in America are having a hard time trying to figure out that's just not working that way. You know, they'd like to have all these books, Chemistry for Dummies, Philosophy for Dummies. Everybody would like to have a book, Shas for Dummies, and to still be able to hang out Motzei Shabbos and have a little bit of a day on Friday, not much learning, and to be able to, be on the phone 20 times during the day and have the most beautiful car and have a very nice house and all of these things. At the same time, they dream of being Rav Moshe Feinstein's and Rogatchev's until at some point they wake up and they realize that it doesn't usually work out that way. It just doesn't work out that way. So, the problem is that be'etzem, the soul of a Jew, is seeking menucha. It's seeking menucha, it's seeking the peacefulness that comes when a person is doing what where he's supposed to be and is doing what he's supposed to be doing. Menucha means exactly that. In the Maral Svarm, menucha means being at rest. Being at rest doesn't mean when you're supposed to be somewhere else. A person can only feel the deepest, we're going to talk a lot about this, Yemei Hashem, but many months in the future, a person can only feel true restfulness when he is who he's supposed to be and he is where he belongs. The Jewish people, as I've mentioned many times, even though we could settle in and become comfortable wherever Jews are, we're homesick. Even in one's own home, you're homesick, because this is not really where we belong. This is not really who we're supposed to be. So there is a restlessness that comes as a result of our not being in this state of menucha. Therefore, the only time, and understand this, the only time that the neshama can truly, truly enjoy itself is on that one day of the week when there is no melechas aguf. On the one day of the week where there are 39 categories in halacha that say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. In other words, detach yourself from the physical world, the world of the 39 malchus, of the 39 lashes. On that one day, when melacha is forbidden, the neshama is able to breathe a sigh of relief. That is the day of menucha v'simcha erle Yehudim, that's the day of Shabbos. Because throughout the entire week, the neshama feels terribly, terribly overwrought, overwhelmed by being invested into physical things. Therefore, we understand now the teaching of the Maharal that the inyan of the Malchus is 40 minus 1. 40 minus 1 means that mitzad, from the perspective of the body that was created in 39 days, that's where all of the malchus and all the klolus and all the aggravation and all of the running around and all the schlepping, all the craziness comes from the 39 days of the 39 days when the body was formed, and that's the 39 malchus and the 39 melachus that are forbidden. But on the 40th day of the child's formation, the soul was given. That means there are no more malchus on the 40th day. There are no more malchus. And the 40th day in time, each week, is the time of menucha that a Jew can experience on Shabbos, when he is freed, when he's finally liberated from the malchus, from the lashes of the 39 ways of misery, the 39 melachas, the 39 categories of physical life and suffering. That's only on Shabbos. That is the gift of Shabbos. But to understand why did it have to be given as a gift, that the neshama has that day, which the Zohar calls Yom HaDinishmas, so the day of the soul. The day of the soul is Shabbos, Yom HaDinishmas. That's when a person understands this on the deepest level, then not only will you not read secular books or be involved in secular silly conversations on Shabbos or waste Shabbos by just sleeping it away, but a person will realize that every single second of Shabbos is an opportunity for the neshama to be able to flex its muscles, to be able to express itself, to be able to be heard after being drowned out and silenced by the loudness of the 39 melachos of the 6 days of the week, which correspond to the physical life of the individual. But to understand why is this a gift? So now we come to Kabbalas Aluchos, because this is as we began, that on the day of our chasna with Hashem, on the wedding day, when Hashem finished speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave Moshe Rabbeinu, as a representative of the Jewish people, as a representative of the Kala, Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah, the Luchos, Luchos HaEvan, that were written with Hashem's hand. Now, we have a deeper understanding of why Moshe Rabbeinu received the Luchos after being on the mountain for 40 days. And this itself is a remarkable thing. Why that period of 40 days? So the Svarim HaKadoshim explain that it was during those 40 days that the fetus of Knesset Yisrael, of the Jewish people, was being formed. That the world was starting again. In effect, what was happening, the reason that it was 40 days, and Hashem arranged it in such a way that it was Davka 40 days, is because there was something new that was being formed in the universe. And that was Yisrael. And within Yisrael, the Talmud Chacham, the Tzaddik. But this is a formation that's taking place, and it's truly amazing and wondrous that the creation, the formation of the Jewish people corresponds to the days of the giving of the Torah until Moshe Rabbeinu would descend with the Luchos. The Gemara says in the Dharam an amazing thing. That throughout all of those days, Moshe Rabbeinu was hearing the Torah from Hashem, and he kept on forgetting. He was loy meter mishacha, he was listening, but then he would forget. And Moshe Rabbeinu had an excellent memory, and was a very, very big Talmud Chacham. So for that entire period, Chazal tell us, Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem was teaching him, and Moshe Rabbeinu was forgetting. Ad shenitna loy b'matana. Until on the 40th day, Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah as a gift. In other words, forget it. It's okay, Rav Moshe. It's okay. You can't do it. I'm giving it to you. It's a freebie. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do it. So the Gemara says that Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah as a gift. That he gave him this wedding present that he wasn't able to earn. He gave him this wedding present as a gift. A gift is something that you didn't earn. It's a gift. So what's going on? Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu, who had an excellent memory, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu could not hold on to the Torah during those 39 days? And I think it should be obvious, why not? So the Maharal explains in the Chiddush HaGadol over there in the Dharm, Lamed Ches in the Dharm, the Maharal explains. Really, the Torah, Lefi Ma'alosa Ha'elokis, the Torah, because of its godly and its exalted stature, its greatness, really, the Maharal says, the Torah cannot have a tziruf and a chibur, cannot really, really be attached to physical matter, to this world. The Torah, by its nature, detests this world. It can't look at this world in the face. The Torah, because of its delicate and its remarkable, exalted nature, the Torah really, really is not comfortable in the physical world. It can't really be a part of this world. The Maharal says, it's the opposite of the physical world. It's completely spiritual. Therefore, the Maharal explains, the Moshe Rabbeinu mitzad atzmai. The Moshe Rabbeinu, because even though he was the greatest human being that ever lived, sof kol sof, he was still tied to the physical world, to this world. Therefore, the Maharal explains that mitzad atzmai, the human being, cannot possibly hold on to Torah. You can get a little bit of it here and there. It's something that you could scream and yell and reach to try to get, but it's ever so slightly beyond man's grasp, or not ever so slightly, but it's beyond man's grasp. It's not of this world. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, he couldn't hold on to it. He couldn't, so to speak, remember. Remembering means to connect to something. When you connect it to something at a deep level, you remember it. You remember it. If you connect it to something, if a person is healthy and is well, then if something is important to you and you feel a connection to it, you remember. You could ask people a person who doesn't remember the Gemara that he learned 15 minutes ago, but you could ask him, who had the most RBIs in, 1957, and, he'll rattle off all the statistics. And he can't remember what Tosfos said 15 minutes ago. The chiluk is that he feels a connection to the statistics. He doesn't feel, unfortunately, a connection to the Tosfos. But when you're deeply connected to something, you can't forget it. It's not shaykh to forget it. So therefore, since innately man cannot be deeply connected to that which is beyond the realm of his reach, beyond man's grasp, therefore, the Maharal explains, Moshe Rabbeinu is only capable of reaching the greatest levels of human wisdom. So if we speak lahavdil about a person, a genius like Albert Einstein or a genius like Sir Isaac Newton, these were exceptional geniuses. But the realm in which their genius functioned and carried on its daily routine, that domain was the domain of mankind. It was the physical universe. Both Sir Isaac Newton and Professor Einstein were limited in their inquiries to the physical world. Einstein was certainly, both of them were certainly climbing as high as one can get in this physical world. In other words, they were looking at abstracts that were far beyond the grasp of most human beings. Nevertheless, they were still playing ball in the hometown. They're still part of this world. Great geniuses, but of this world. Therefore, the Torah had to be given as a gift. Understand this. This is a chiddush of the Maharal, which we need to understand to go further. The Torah was given as a matana, as a wedding present from Hashem Yisbarach to man, which means that really we should know that really we can't do it. We can't get it. It would not make sense to us. It's godly. And we're stuck in this craziness of the 39 melachis and bezeis apecha toicha lechem. They try to figure out, how to fill out this form and how to pay taxes and so on. But Hashem is baruch in His loving kindness. Hashem is baruch is mashpi. He gave us this gift. He gave us this gift. It's called the Torah, the Luchos. Vayitena el Moshe. He gave us this wedding gift. And now we understand why it could only be given on the 40th day. The reason it can only be given on the 40th day of being in Har Sinai is because the same way that the soul is only infused into the child, into the fetus on the 40th day, so too on the 40th day, the soul of the universe, the Torah, was infused into Knesset Yisrael on the 40th day. For 39 days, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get it because Moshe Rabbeinu was earthbound. Great, amazing, but still part of the earth. And the Torah is something which is above and beyond this world. It comes from before the world, and it comes from a place that transcends this world. Therefore, it was only on the 40th day, when the Jewish people were like a fetus that was being formed, and Moshe Rabbeinu, as the representative of the Jewish people, was that baby, was that fetus. So for 39 days of this physical world, Moshe Rabbeinu was still held back by the shackles of physical life and of the body. But on the 40th day, Hashem Yisbarach infused into the world, into Moshe Rabbeinu, the Nefesh HaTorah, the living soul of Aleph Beis, of Gimel Dalet, of Breishis Bar Lekim, of Memes HaKaren, that the soul of Torah was infused into the world, into Moshe Rabbeinu, on the 40th day. That's why in the Zohar, a Talmud Chacham is called Shabbos. A Talmud Chacham is called Shabbos on the 40th, because of this connection in the Zohar. Why is a Talmud Chacham? I'll tell you an interesting maysa I once told you, I think 2 years ago. Were we here 2 years ago? Yeah, I guess so. But I told it someplace 2 years ago. So, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was extremely, extremely upset because it happened once that in Meshbez, somebody was Mechallel Shabbos in his presence. Somebody desecrated Shabbos in the presence of the Baal Shem Tov. Now, you would say, listen, it happens. You didn't do it. What are you getting upset about? But you must realize that in that time, in that place, that there should be Chilul Shabbos, and in the presence of the holiest of holies, of the Baal Shem Tov, that it wasn't a good thing. And the Baal Shem Tov was deeply, deeply troubled by why did this happen to me that I saw the desecration of Shabbos. It must be that on some level I desecrated Shabbos as well. So the Baal Shem Tov searched through everything that from that previous Shabbos, from the moment of candlelighting until Havdalah, he searched every single second to find out, was there anything wrong with that Shabbos? And there wasn't. The Shabbos was pure and holy. So then he began searching through the other days. Until finally he stopped in that film and he realized that there was a great Talmud Chacham who had visited him during the week, and the Talmud Chacham brought the Baal Shem Tov a glass of water. And since this great Talmud Chacham, the Baal Shem Tov said that the Zohar calls the scholar, the tzaddik, is called Shabbos, that it was not right that the Baal Shem Tov took advantage of Shabbos, that Shabbos, he asked Shabbos, the Talmud Chacham, to serve him a cup of water. And as a result of that, the Baal Shem Tov realized that on some level, he was Mechallel Shabbos, he desecrated Shabbos, which is the Talmud Chacham, by misusing the Talmud Chacham, and that's why he was reminded of this by seeing actual Chilul Shabbos, desecration of Shabbos, before his eyes in Meshbez. So the Talmud Chacham is called Shabbos. We understand why. The connection between, that we began with, the connection between these two gifts that Hashem has called gifts, the gift of Shabbos and the gift of the Luchos, of the giving of the Torah, that these two are called gifts, and in the Torah and Kisisa, they come one right after the other. The two gifts of Shabbos and of the Luchos. What does this mean? So the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't possibly on his own achieve an understanding of Torah, because man is stuck in the world of 39, therefore on the 40th day, which is the day that is soulful, the day when the soul is infused, Hashem infused the Torah into Moshe Rabbeinu's amazing mind and heart, and he gave it to us, because that's when the baby was finished, and the formation of the fetus was complete, the 40th day, and that's when the soul is infused into the baby. So we understand that Moshe Rabbeinu received that gift on the 40th day. That is the meaning of what we say on Shabbos. Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelkai. The Moshe Rabbeinu rejoiced with the wedding present he received. And you all know that the Tfilas of Shabbos, we're going to talk about this a lot, that the Seder of Davening on Shabbos, as it's brought down in the Abu Dram and others, corresponds to a Chasana. Right? Corresponds to a Chasana. Musaf is the Tosefes Ksuba, Friday night, Boikala, Shabbos Malkus, Eishes Chal Meyimsa, Hal Dar Lechadoy Lekras Kala, Shabbos morning, Yismach Moshe is the Ksuba, Musaf is the Tosefes Ksuba. until finally by Mincha Shabbos is the holiest time of Shabbos, is Mincha. Ata Echad v'Shimcha Echad. That means the complete and total joining together, which is the intimacy between Hashem and Yisrael of Heviani Hamelech Hador, that the king then brought us into the royal chamber. That's Mincha Shabbos, which is Ato Echad v'Shimcha Echad. Umika Amchi Yisrael Goy Echad Baris. That means that's the final bonding. After the process of the Chasna, the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people, Mincha, which is called Raiva the Raivan, Shalashudas, which is Raiva the Raivan, the desire of all desires is Shalashudas. It's the greatest level of desire between Hashem and Yisrael, is that time of Shalashudas of Mincha. Therefore we understand, Yismach Moshe v'matnas Chelkai, that on Shabbos, the connection is that the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu could not receive the Torah, could not himself grasp the Torah and had to be given to him as a gift on the 40th day of Maimon HaSinai. So too, it's the same thing with each and every one of us, but every single week of our lives is the exact same thing. Throughout the 6 days of the week, the person is the one who's stuck in that world of the Lamates Malachas, of the body, of the 39 lashes, and all that means for the person, the disappointments, the upsetting phone calls, the missed appointments, and so on and so forth. All of that corresponds to the 39 days of the body's formation in the fetus, and the 39 melachas. And those are the 39 malchus, the 39 lashes of the week. That person on his own, a human being on his own, cannot achieve complete and total menucha. Cannot achieve Shabbos on his own. So the Christians call it Sabbath. And the Muslims have also their Shabbat, whatever they call it, I think something like that, that the Muslims have on Friday and the Christians have on Sunday. They can call it whatever they like, but the Gemara says, Goy Sheshavas Chayiv Misa. That a guy who claims to have Shabbos and tries to keep Shabbos in the way that we keep Shabbos, that such a guy is Chayiv Misa, is worthy of being killed. And the meaning of that is that Menuchas Shabbos, the restfulness and the peace of Shabbos, the Shleimus of Shabbos, is only the portion of the one who has received the present. And the one who has received the present is the one who has a neshama, a holy Jewish soul that was infused on the 40th day, and has the soul of Torah that was given in 40 days, and that soul was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, to the Jewish people on the 40th day. The rest of the world, they can call it Sabbath, and they can make up all kinds of customs, and they could be Seventh-day Adventists, whatever they want to call themselves. Whatever they call themselves, the rest of the world has never, ever, and never will be able to transcend the 39 melachas and the 39 lashes of this world, ever. Now, a Jew who doesn't keep Shabbos, is part of the secular world, so he too could have a day off. He could have a day off. People have days off. They might have a lot more days off than a Jewish person. But the menucha of Shabbos and what Shabbos means and what can be achieved on Shabbos, when the world of the 39 lashes of the body, of physical life, is silenced, and you're not allowed to do those 39 melachas, and the neshama is, you enter into that realm of vayinofash, where God infuses each and every one of us with that extra, that neshama yisei, which means the soul of Shabbos, the soul of the Torah, which is given to us each and every Shabbos. That's the neshama yisei. Therefore, true menucha, in terms of what menucha means, menucha, as we said, is shleimus, is wholeness, is fulfillment, is being who you could be. That can only be tasted by someone who received the neshama on the 40th day of his formation, and who received Shabbos as a gift. Because a human being on his own cannot ever have Shabbos. He could belong to every single club in the world, and it might be that he doesn't have to work. He's a multi-billionaire, and he doesn't have to work a day in his life. He still can never ever taste of the gefilte fish and the chrein. Even if he eats it, he doesn't taste it the way that we do. And even though he might not work one day in his life, he's a spoiled, rotten little kid that grew up into a rotten adult, because he never had to work. When he puts his head down to rest on those days, he doesn't feel the way that you and I feel Friday night when we put the heads on the pillow. He cannot. And I'm only talking about the simplest level. What about what Menuchas Shabbos really, really means? That's what we're going to talk about the rest of the year, what menucha really means, which is so much beyond. It's, of course, including the gefilte fish, and it includes the pillow. But it's so much more than that, that it's impossible for the world to have that peacefulness, that restfulness, that shleimus, that menuchas ha-lev, menuchas ha-mayach, the mind and the heart, the roichav lev that comes as a result, the expansiveness, Rashi calls it, of spirituality that one receives on Shabbos. Because a human being can't get that on his own. And you can make 5 days off in the week and you still won't get it. Because it's a gift. It's something that Hashem gave us. And a human being cannot get on his own. Just like we can't get the Torah on his own. On our own, physical human beings can never ever have the Menucha of Shabbos. Shabbos is something that comes from beyond. And it was given to us as a present. And it only is able to come when, it only works in the life of a Jew who's commanded to restrain doing the 39 levels of work that correspond to the physical world. And on that day of Shabbos, the neshama is at rest, is at peace from that bizarre relationship and enslavement that it has by being connected, that it's involved in by being connected to physical life throughout the 6 days of the week. That's Vayinofash. Now we understand something quite amazing. And here we're going to connect last week's parasha and this parasha. Again, I'm only doing this Derech Agav. And I spoke about this a little bit last week. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Ela told us, Noach, the Zohar HaKadosh says, Noach is Tzadik, the Noach is Shabbos. And I mentioned this last week. The Zohar says that Noach is Shabbos. Noach is Shabbos, Noach means Menucha, it means resting, as I mentioned last week. And it says twice, Noach, Ela told us, Noach, because the Zohar says, Naich Leil, Naich Lesata, that it's a day of rest above and it's a day of rest below in this world. That's what the Zohar says, Leil Lesata. So let's understand. So it says in Parshas Noach, Kili Yomim Oid Shiv Anoichi Mamtir Al Ha'aretz Arboim Yoim V'Arboim Laila. Hashem says, I'm going to destroy the world. It's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days and 40 nights. So the Zohar Kodesh and the Zohar Rabbi Yehuda asks, Hani Arboim Yoim V'Arboim Laila Mayavidetayu. What was going on during those 40 days and 40 nights? Why 40? What's the 40 days and 40 nights? What's this shiur? What's this amount? During those 40 days, the entire world was guilty and was receiving 40 lashes. Oksivan, it's written, that one gives 40 makas and not more, therefore it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. That means an absolutely shocking and astounding thing, because everybody is thinking, it should have only rained for what? 39 days and 39 nights. Because the entire creation was destroyed. The Gemara says that the generation of the flood, Ein lehem chelek loylam haba, the soul was obliterated as well. It's a pachad. Even the neshama, even whatever that meant, whatever level of soul there was. Because really, the cheshbon should be 39. Because the Torah says 40, but it doesn't mean 40, because the soul is the 40th. Therefore, it only means 39. Then the soul is fine. And the soul can go on and start again with a new week. With simchim, with brachim, with nachis, could start a new week. The problem, however, with the generation of the flood, and this is a pachat, 40 days and 40 nights, that means that their behavior had infiltrated into the very essence of their being. To such a point, to such a degree, that Chazal say, Dharamabal ain't lehem chelik lalam haba, that they had to be completely destroyed, and they don't even have the world to come, which means that the malchus, 39 malchus would not suffice. 39 lashes do not suffice over here. It was for all 40 days, which means it's complete and total desolation. Complete destruction. It means, therefore, a world that was totally, totally removed from the menucha of Shabbos. What is the ideal Shabbos? The Shabbos of all Shabbos is Olam Haba. Shabbos in this world is a taste of what's going to be. It's Me'ein Olam Haba. Yom Shabbos Menucha. Shabbos in our lives is a taste of the final Shabbos. Those people who were removed from the final Shabbos, who have no portion in the world to come, have no Shabbos in this world, have no existence in this world. So therefore, they were patched for 40 days and 40 nights, because that meant complete and total destruction. V'noyach matzah chein b'nei Hashem. There's this one human being whose name is Noach, which means Menucha, who saw a new world, as Chazal say. It was a new being. And I explained, therefore, the Tevas Noach. We spoke about this last week, that in this world, the Tevas Noach is connected to Shabbos. That only the Jew hangs onto that boat of Shabbos, the Tevas Noach, and holds onto the Torah. As I mentioned last week, now we understand, I hope, a little bit better. that the words of the Torah called Tevos, right? The words of Torah called Tevos. And the boat, the ark, was called a Teva. So we understand that there are two boats that a Jew can hold on to, and he can make it through this world to the world to come. And he could taste of the world to come even in this physical world every seventh day. And even if it's not the seventh day, when he sits and learns and davens, he could taste of Gan Eden, of the Lashama with Korbanos, with Torah, with Yiddishkeit. And that's the two Tevas, the Teva of Noach, which is Shabbos, the Teva, that amazing world of Shabbos, that closed, insulated, beautiful, hidden world of Shabbos, which is Noach, which is Menucha, and the Tevos and the words of learning Torah that is given also. These are the two gifts. Therefore, there are boats that carry us through the floods of this world, because this world on its own does not have eternal existence. It does not have peace. It's a stormy, crazy world. And the only way that we can have Menucha is through the Tevos of Torah and Tefillah, the words, the arks, the boats, and the Teva of Shabbos to carry us through. Therefore, we understand also the connection to Lech Lecha. I'm just going to say this briefly. I have to get to Chasna, far away. So it's a Svadisha thing. It's a little bit later, but still, I'm still late. The beginning of the parasha, this week is very frantic. Whereas Noach is so quiet and peaceful. Noach means Menucha. So now we begin with what? Lech Lecha. Go. Lech Lecha means get out of here. Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha mi'artzecha mi'ladecha mi'beis avicha. The Chassidus Sfarim tell us, I'm only going to say this, bekitzu, we'll talk more about it next week. The Chassidus Sfarim tell us that there's only one kind of a Jew who's able to come into Shabbos, really. Only the person who goes through Lech Lecha mi'artzecha mi'ladecha mi'beis avicha. Only a Jew who's able to go away from the 6 days of the week. But if you go into Shabbos holding on to the 6 days of the week, you can't experience Shabbos. If you're holding on to the newspaper, the novel, the same stupid discussions, if you're holding on to the same thoughts, the same feelings, if you're holding on to the same way of life that you had during the 6 days of the week, just, you know, you don't cook. Or you don't turn on lights. But otherwise, you're the same person. So then you can never come to Shabbos. Lech lecha mi'artzecha mi'ladecha mi'beis avicha means that in order to come to Shabbos, a person has to be able to tear himself away. Mi'artzecha, which means all physical attachments, me'artzecha, this world, umi malatecha means the things that you were stuck in because of mommy and daddy, right, mi'beis avicha, and so on. Without going into the details, I don't have time right now. Only a person who tears himself away and is able to try to leave the floods of the 6 days of the week can come to Shabbos. If a person on Shabbos has his head and heart in the same thing, is the same thing as the 6 days of the week, then it's not possible to come to that final madrega, which is what? Shabbos. Which Shabbos is El Haaretz Asher Areka. It's brought down to the land that I will show you, which is Shabbos. Eretz Yisrael is Shabbos. El Haaretz Asher Areka, that's why it's brought down in the Sfarim, that the word Areka is the same gematria as Shabbos. The Endachaf is counted in the Sfarim as 500. The Endachaf is counted as 500. And then the word Areka, I will show you, equals exactly Shabbos. Why is that? Because that's the ultimate destination. That's where we're going. Shabbos. El ha'aretz asher areka. Only the person who is able to leave, artzecha, melartecha, and beis avicha, is able to come into the world of Shabbos kaidish, into that world asher areka. But we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem. We're going to start learning next week. Is what's the meaning of Erev Shabbos? What is the purpose of Erev Shabbos? And what are the hachanas, the preparations of Erev Shabbos, all about? And to learn how to appreciate Erev Shabbos is a very, very spectacular day, not just a day of commotion and arguments and rushing and so on. We'll talk about what Erev Shabbos means. That will begin in Mitzvah next week. Shkai.